Welcome to Pardes Daily, where you get your daily dose of Torah with Pardes faculty. This month, Pardes is bringing Elul to you. Let's dive in.
Hello, everyone. This is Michael Hatton in Jerusalem, and welcome back to our Pardes podcast on Sefer Yonah on the Book of Jonah. Last time, we considered Jonah's mission to Nineveh, Take 2, which began in Chapter 3. Yonah, this time, engages the mission that God gives him to come to Nineveh and to proclaim the proclamation that God will ask him to proclaim. Jonah enters the city. It is a very, very large and overwhelming city, 3 days across or 3 days around, whatever the case may be, a metropolis, as I characterized it last time. And by the way, Nineveh certainly was a great city, being the capital of the Assyrian Empire. So Jonah makes his way, and we talked about some of the tantalizing parallels between Yonah being swallowed by the fish in chapter 2, and Yonah now, as it were, being swallowed by the city of Nineveh in chapter 3, both of them referencing this three-day duration. Jonah pronounces exactly five words, not more and not less. Od arba'im yom v'Nineveh nehepachet. In 40 days more time, Nineveh will be overthrown. It is probably one of the shortest proclamations ever uttered by a prophet in the Hebrew Bible. If you sort of consider the book of Isaiah, there are many, 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 many chapters in Jeremiah and Yechezkel and all the other prophets in the 12 minor prophets. Prophets tend to be verbose and long-winded, not because that's their nature necessarily, but because that's what's required in order for the people to even begin to be receptive to their message. Here, Jonah simply pronounces five short words, and something absolutely startling takes place. Chapter 3, verse number 5 reports, Vaya'aminu aneshei Nineveh be'Elohim, Vayikru'u tzom, Vayilbishu sakim, Migidolam ve'ad kitanam. The people of Nineveh believed in God, they trusted in God, and they proclaimed a fast, and they clothed themselves with sackcloth from the greatest to the smallest. So this is absolutely remarkable. Jonah pronounced exactly five words, not even a whole sentence for goodness sake, and the people of Nineveh immediately responded. Later on, the king is going to get in on the act as well, but certainly at this point, it seems like the people are on board before the king even asks them to participate in a teshuvah process. They immediately engage in teshuvah. They immediately believe in God. And they proclaim a fast. And they put on sackcloth. And these are, of course, classic expressions in the Hebrew Bible of engaging in a process of tshuva. A fast is intended to remind us of our mortality and our vulnerability. It's an expression of our desire to achieve atonement. As it were, we're prepared to suffer in order to achieve atonement. Perhaps it even speaks to the idea of transcending our physicality. And there is another connection, by the way, to Yom Kippur, which is the most serious day of fasting on the Jewish calendar. So just as we fast on Yom Kippur, the people of Nineveh engage in a fast, and that might be another good reason why we read Sefer Yonah on the afternoon of Yom Kippur. And they also don sackcloth. Sackcloth is sort of a rough and simple material. To put on sackcloth means that you are effectively prepared to repent. You're effectively prepared to surrender your comfort to surrender your status, to surrender that which is external and ultimately of little value, and to engage in something profound and something spiritual and something transformative. So significantly, the people of Nineveh believe in God before they engage in these other activities, but taken together, the belief, the trust, the fasting, the sackcloth, these are classic expressions of repentance in the Hebrew Bible. And the way the book presents the tshuva of the people of Nineveh, it seems to be absolutely sincere and absolutely heartfelt. So, as I said, this is a remarkable moment on many levels. Number one, Jonah is able to accomplish the feat with significantly less effort than any other prophet in the Hebrew Bible that we have ever met. In fact, we never have met a prophet in the Hebrew Bible that so successfully is able to bring his or her listeners to a state of tshuva in such short order. And all of that by pronouncing five little words. So it's remarkable, it's unprecedented, and if I were Jonah in that situation, I would be very, very happy. I would feel like I've actually done what I was supposed to do, and it wasn't even that hard. So we're going to talk about Jonah's reaction a little bit later, but I guess I'm trying to highlight just how unusual and unprecedented this turn of events actually is. There's no such thing as a prophet in the Hebrew Bible that's able to convince his or her listeners in short order that they should engage in transformative tshuva. There is an expression in the Hebrew Bible where God is frustrated with the people of Israel and he says, I've sent my prophets to you, hashkem v'ha'arev, every morning and every night and every day and every month and every year, and nobody's interested in listening to their message. And yet here Jonah pronounces five words and the people fall over themselves, basically, in order to do a tshuva, which everywhere else in the Hebrew Bible is a tshuva of sincerity and a tshuva of depth, of sincerity. And if that's not enough, so the next verse reports, verse number 6, Vayiga hadavar el melech Nineveh, the word came to the king of Nineveh. I guess that means the reports of what was happening in the city after Jonah's triumphant entry and pronouncement of God's word. And he arose off of his throne, and he threw his mantle off of himself. He clothed himself in a sackcloth, and he sat in ashes. Again, these are extreme expressions of tshuva. So now the king himself is involved in the process of tshuva. It's not simply something that the lay people have taken on, but the king himself, and again, we're talking about the king of the Assyrian Empire, ultimately, is also on board. And he pronounces a decree in the next verse. The king and his great advisors pronounce a decree, and this is what they say. Verse number 7, Ha'adam v'ha'behema, man and beast, cattle and sheep, should not eat anything, should not taste anything, should not graze, nor should they drink water. Let them all dress in sackcloth, man and beast, and call out to God in strength, which means with enthusiasm and with power. Let each one repent from their evil way and from the violence that is in their hands. Who knows? Mi yodea yashuv. Verse number 9, perhaps God will relent and he will turn back from his great anger, and we will not be lost. So the king's proclamation is issued in the city. It takes the process a number of steps further. It's no longer just about fasting and sackcloth and believing, but now it also involves the animals, curiously enough. And once again, it seems like everybody is on board. So next time we'll consider the role of the king in this process and how this really represents some sort of unprecedented moment, certainly with respect to the involvement of the animals, which at first glance seems to be curiously out of place. So we'll talk about that next time. Thank you.
Thank you to our Pardes faculty, and thank you to you, our learners. Make sure to check back in at the beginning of each week to stay on track with your Elul learning, and visit www.pardes.org.il for more information about Pardes and our programs.